Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good morning and welcome back, family. If you're just joining us, this is the Mid-Morning Empowerment Weekend Edition right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. Right now for our mid-morning chat, we are getting into What I Know For Sure and sharing with us his experience and what he knows for sure after a few experiences with God is my brother Karabo Mutle. Karabo, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Bongi, and thank you for the welcome. It's a privilege to be part of the program at this point.
Thank you so much for always making time. Now, as we talk about what you know for sure, just for those who are not familiar with the segment, you know, we were never meant to merely grow in intellectual knowledge, right? When related to Bible stories and themes and all that, apart from the divine truths and principles of those stories being proven and made real through real life experiences, right? So there's a great gap today in the body of Christ between our intellectual knowledge about God and his ways and our experiencing those truths and his ways in our own lives. So this is a major reason why so many have become so disillusioned with God. You have one idea of how he should show up, and then it turns out to be something completely different. So Karabo was going to talk to us about how his understanding of God and faith has evolved with the passage of time. What is it that you know now, Karabo, that you didn't know back then?
I think in summary, what I want to say is I know now that God is real and that God lives. You know, I've been through so much, so many phases. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I want to, maybe before I even go into that, I want to address the fact that, you know, the disillusionment part. Mm-hmm. See, the issue is this church, Seventh-day Adventist Church, God has given us a full light.
Okay.
So, you know, whereas to our predecessors, God was revealing, you know, doctrinal light in bits, but now the light is full. But the challenge is, the light is treated as a tradition. So whereas some people say that we go to church on Sunday, we have ancestral rituals, you know, Adventists will say we don't do that, we go to church on Sabbath. Uh-huh. But it's from a traditional perspective.
Okay. Okay.
You know, it's from a traditional perspective. It's as if, you know, you've been given a template, and this template has rules of engagement and code of conduct. Yeah. And this is then taken in as a tradition, but it's lifeless on its own. Mm. You know, it has no life. And that is why as we go through the different stages in life and our realities are altered by experiences, we reevaluate the construct of God, the construct that we built around God.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was a dead construct.
To begin
with. It was not a living thing. It was just, you know, something that you built around God. So we navigate God through our doctrinal beliefs, through our traditional presuppositions. No, we do this, we don't do that. You know, it's as if it's a code of rules observed.
And so what should it be? You know, what should it be in order to avoid that disillusionment?
Yes. So what I'm saying is it's lifeless. Like what? So I discovered this a couple of years ago, maybe 5 years ago or six, I don't know. And then what I started doing is I started teaching my children, telling them who's Ellen White, what's the Seventh-day Adventist. We go to church on the Sabbath. We believe that there was a war in heaven and that Satan has fallen here. But this is how the conflict is going to end. You know, I've narrated these to my children in a way of wonderful stories where you make illustrations and they laugh and all of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But here's something interesting. In it all, I centered Christ. Because my experiences in the church at my point of disillusionment, when we came into the church, I'm not born in the Adventist church.
Okay.
I converted in 2011. I'm the only one in my family. So when these people came into our home, you know, they came with this wonderful truth. But I quickly fell under the assumption that the truth is something that is lived, you know. So you associate the truth with the people who subscribe to the truth.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, so it's like Adventist and Adventism. So you assume that Adventists embody Adventism.
Right.
So if something's wrong with Adventists, then something must be wrong with Adventism. We must separate the truth. Because being a component of a system does not define, the component does not define the system.
The system itself. Sure.
But the component is just a part of the system.
Mm.
And if something is wrong with the component of the system, that does not make the system sick. So the adherence of the Adventist doctrine and theological system do not determine the validity of the system. We don't validate truth. We are adherents of truth, and truth is not affected by its adherence. You know, so I had to learn that through my experience, terrible experience.
Wow.
Because then I got into the church, and then I impregnated, because I still had that mindset, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a wonderful church. They're highly intelligent in the scriptures.
Yeah.
And they're beautiful girls at the church. So that's where I met the mother of my children. You know, and because I was under the assumption that the adherent of the truth embodies the truth, and that the truth is dependent on its adherent, I left Adventism when I was treated otherwise in the church. And I didn't only leave Adventism, but I also associated Adventism with God himself.
Yes.
So God was an Adventist in my imagination.
Right.
So when I experienced what I experienced in the church, and I realized that actually these are human beings, you know, every system that has human beings within it is flawed because of the human aspect.
Yeah.
It's flawed. So when I was confronted by the human aspect of the church, which is really fallen like every other human being, regardless of whatever system that you're under, I then turned my back against God. I turned my back against Christ. And I remember church members, even motherly people who loved me, who saw potential in me, when I converted, I remember them coming to me and saying, man, what happened? And I would tell them about individuals. And I remember one of them, maybe I can even call her by name, Mom Tabise Nkaba from Orlando SDA Church. And she's like, how, my son, are you really going to do this to Christ, the one who gave himself for you because of human beings?
Hey.
Are you really going to throw God out of the window because of what individuals have done to you?
Sure.
After so much that Christ endured for you to be saved today, are you going to throw him out of the window because of people?
Strong words.
You know, and that stuck with me.
Yeah.
No, that stuck with me. I continued in my rebellion because of I was grieved, I was bruised.
Yeah.
You know, by the human adherence of our truth, of the truth that God has given us in this church. Because I was grieved because of Adventists, but one Adventist stood up for Christ in that stage of rebellion and grief and hurt and all. And it's such words that the Holy Spirit used to bring me back into the faith. And now my understanding is renewed. Now I understand that it's me and God. Now I understand that I'm an Adventist because of the Bible.
Hey.
And the distinctive truths of this church, you know. But now when we go to phase two of this discussion, I've picked up, this is in my interaction also with people, some people who are born within this faith.
Okay.
You know, I picked it up that this faith is taken as a tradition.
Right.
But you see, the problem with tradition is it has no power to save, tradition in itself.
Sure. Okay.
So tradition cannot convert a soul. A tradition cannot transform a character. A tradition cannot renew your taste for the things of this world. It cannot. It has no power to change. It has no power to save. So if we are going to be adherents of Adventism, but handling Adventism as a tradition, then Adventism won't transform us. And that is why we will continue having a problem of ungodly and Christian Adventists in the church.
Wow.
You know, so that is what I realized. So today when I say I am a Seventh-day Adventist, it's independent of Adventists.
Sure.
And even Adventism itself, I use the Bible to process it. And okay, so I'm studying theology right now, and I think one of the most transformative modules this semester has been Systematic Theology 1. Systematic Theology deals with the different doctrines of the church, why we believe how we believe.
Right.
And one of the first things that they told us in class by our professor, he said that you are engaged in a theological exercise, the minute you think or you reflect critically about what you believe and why you hold these distinctive beliefs. So our belief system was brought to us in class, and we were allowed to evaluate it in class and to really think and reflect on it and why we hold. You know, and this is where I saw the beauty of Adventism. And I saw that, man, this religion is biblical. This religion is consistent. You know, it's genuinely the truth.
Yeah.
But the problem is in how we have handled the truth. That is what kills so many people. You know, one thing that I love about the task of theology, which is something that Ellen White talks about as taking truth and putting it in modern frames.
Yeah.
But for you to do that, you need to evaluate the whole system. We need fresh evidences for our reason. Uh-huh. And the truth of the matter is, look, society, there's a shift in society because of, you know, thinking patterns like relativism,
right?
You know, postmodernism.
Right.
The youth is reevaluating everything.
Yeah.
And the youth is sober, whereas people, you know, abogogo, our grannies and our parents, they were more conservative.
Mm.
The youth are saying, why should I believe this? But where's the consistency?
Yeah.
If you're going to say this, then it must be consistent with that.
Yeah.
You know? And Ellen White says that truth can afford to be fair. That means truth can stand the test of scrutiny.
Yes.
But I want to go further to say, what is your framework in reevaluating the truth?
Uh-huh.
Are you reevaluating to destroy and fragment our system of truth?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you looking for fresh evidence to reinforce your faith
mm-hmm.
in the truth? Because the truth of the matter is, if you're going to evaluate truth because you want to break the system of truth, you will break it.
Yeah, you'll find what you're looking for.
You'll come to a point of realizing that it's actually true. And it stands true independent of our presuppositions as a people. When we investigate what we believe in the scriptures alone, it stands. But you won't get to that conclusion if you're informed by a worldview that says something's wrong and I'm going to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to deal with the spirit first. What is the spirit that orders? What is your presupposition? What is your principle, your guiding principle
yeah.
in your quest for reevaluating truth? Are you guided by the fact that you want to break, you want to prove against, or you want to reinforce?
Mm.
And we cannot go further than that. And this is the problem that I'm picking up. This is the pattern that I've discovered in the church, because you've got these, you know, and another thing, it's just that this is so full, man. You know, the thinking itself.
Going.
You see, when you're going to deal, there's also, I love the vice chancellor, former vice chancellor of UCT, Mam Kheti Phakeng. I think she left this year or last year at UCT.
Uh-huh.
But there's a talk where Mam Kheti Phakeng was introducing Chimamanda Adichie Ngozi, who was giving a lecture on the idolatry of theory.
Okay.
And in her introduction of Chimamanda, Mam Kheti Phakeng says that we need to be in an environment where we are comfortable with differences, where we engage our differences intelligently and think about them without accepting them. And this is because we want to have a better understanding of someone else's perspective of the world.
Yes.
You know, so Phakeng says we need to be intelligent when it comes to our differences. We need to engage critically with what we differ with.
Yeah.
You cannot condemn something else without a clear and proper knowledge of it.
Yeah,
so if I'm going to say that this particular denomination is wrong, our denomination is right, and I'm dogmatic and I'm condemning them, first I need to know the points of the distinctive points of their belief.
Yes.
I need to be intelligent in understanding why they believe how they believe.
Yeah.
So that when I engage them, I start by defining their belief, then I move from that point to showing what I perceive to be an inconsistency
mm-hmm.
and still have room to learn from another person's defense of their own faith.
Love that. It's always a problem to enter into any kind of debate or conversation or any kind of like learning experience with the assumption that you know better than the other person, that the other person has nothing to teach you, and that their belief is completely flawed and yours is perfect.
Defenses are immediately up. And this kind of approach to what we hold as truth
mm-hmm.
is detrimental.
Yeah.
It does not gather for Christ. It condemns.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes us evaluate to know, why do you feel the need to bash?
Yeah.
Why? Because God is not dogmatic. I mean, the fact that the presence of evil is there in the universe, it simply shows that God respects the power of choice. That he created his beings with the capacity to do good and evil.
Mm.
He created them to be independent thinkers, moral agents. He created them with the ability to be able to resist God if they choose.
Mm.
And worship him by allegiance if they also choose to appreciate his character.
Wow.
So that on its own, free will, if God operates on free will and allows evil to exist because of free will, although he's going to punish it, and prophecy shows us that he is going to punish it, judgment is also there to make sure that human beings and other creatures account for their own free choices.
Mm, mm, mm.
But the fact that God allows us free will, can we not model our evangelism on that? Respecting the differences that we share with other people because it's their choice. And then sharing the truth with them from a perspective of love. We you know, when we present the truth as an argument against error, it never works. You put them into defense mode.
Yeah, exactly.
Christ is not glorified in that in any way. It defeats the purpose of your exercise.
Mm.
And quite often, people who handle truth like this, they have a weak spiritual life. Because they are taking upon a system, and the way they wear the Adventist cloth is in a way that condemns. It really is reflective of the contents of their heart, mm-hmm. that their heart is full of Adventism and not of Christ. And Adventism without Christ is a lifeless construct.
Sure. Power.
And that is why when life happens and they are disillusioned and they realize that their traditional views cannot save them, mm-hmm. they apostatize. They never understood from the beginning that Christ is the center of our system.
Yeah. Yeah. Karabo, my pastor. See, I'm so used to calling you Karabo. Pastor Mutle. Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you for sharing such a powerful, powerful lesson on how we need to approach. You know, as you're speaking about this, I'm thinking, and I'm sure I've probably mentioned this on the program before, a sermon that I watched, Pastor Babu, talking about, and he started off the sermon by explaining why those who don't believe in God, in his existence, why they could be right. He started off by explaining the intelligence in their belief, or in their lack of belief in God, rather. And I thought that was interesting, because he didn't start off by condemning and saying, and, you know, talking about the Bible. And in the beginning, he just explained why it makes sense for someone to say, actually, there's no God. And I thought that that was an interesting way, because immediately, if I'm putting myself in the shoes of someone who is not a believer, immediately I'm so used to the Christians coming and bashing me with their Bible, right? So when I hear a pastor saying, no, actually, your beliefs actually make sense, you've got my interest now, you know?
Yes. Okay, so also on that point, I don't know, do we still have time, maybe 5 more minutes?
About 2 more minutes.
Okay, 2 more minutes. Okay, here's what I'm trying to say. Most often, the groups, you know, there are cliques, you know, there's this new thought trend where people are drilling holes in how we believe.
Right.
You know, they are questioning and stuff. But here's my gripe with that kind of behavior.
Uh-huh.
You cannot create a problem without a solution.
Yes.
Because if you're going to drive a hole through how we believe, and you question and you say, yeah, why did God do this?
Yeah.
Why did God not do that? Now, if you're going to do that without coming with a solution, you seem to be an agent of doubt.
That's
it. Because what you're doing is you're creating a spirit of skepticism. You are dismantling people's belief in God. That now, I'm asking a question. At that point in time, and this is in the greater scheme of the battle between the forces of good and evil, which camp do you fall under?
Mm.
Are you under the camp that creates doubt, skepticism, and apostasy? Then whose agent are you? Are you an agent of heaven in your thinking? Because if you're going to create a problem and leave it like that, the problem is going to eat up people's faith.
Yes.
When that happens, which power is glorified in that kind of behavior? You know, and this is the issue that I have with a lot of intelligent lay people who are evaluating our system of truth.
Mm-hmm.
They are drilling holes in our system of truth,
yeah.
in our belief system, but they are creating problems without solutions. And as a result, that is hurting our faith in God.
100%.
Create a problem and bring a solution. Like
yes.
I presented to you now, the problem is a traditional handling of our truth. What is the solution? Christ-centered approach to truth. An approach that is dependent and sensitive to Christ. And I'm telling you, when I introduce Adventism to my children, I introduce it as a center, with Christ as a center.
Mm.
So when my children engage with me on belief,
mm-hmm.
they center the talk on Christ.
On Jesus.
I've trained their eye to process Adventism through Christ.
Mm.
I've even told them that Christ is the head of me.
Mm.
So if there's anything that Daddy does that does not give glory to Christ, you have a right to say, but Daddy, God does not want you to do this. This is a Christ-centered hermeneutic.
Mm.
Because Christ is the one who we serve. Christ is the antithesis to the problem that we have created. Because every research must have a research solution. And
yes.
your thesis statement must state clearly what your research problem is and what your solution
is. I love that. I've actually had the same kind of gripe where it's like, there's a difference between asking questions out of curiosity and trying to figure out where we could possibly do things better as a collective. But it's a whole other thing where we are just simply poking holes and just leave it like that, just for the sake
exactly.
of causing confusion and division and all
we
of
are
that.
We're destroying.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where you get to see that's where you see that the evil spirits are now at play, because they are also controlling your mind. You need, when a question comes upon you, deal with it. Call us if you want.
Yeah.
We will help you. We will wrestle with it. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Then if you're going to present it to the church, at least present it with a solution. And a solution that will reinforce their faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If Christ is not your objective, then you must question why, your question itself. You must question the spirit that you're operating under. You must question which spirit is at work. Which spirit possesses your intelligence? These are the questions that we need to ask. And even coming back to the part of early days, now I understand that Christ is all. Now I understand that even my intention for talking to people in the name of Jesus must be Christ and gathering for Christ.
Amen.
Now, even in my disillusionment, I understand that this is a personal journey between me and Christ. Because he's the head of this church. He is the one through whom is coming. When we say Jesus is coming, I'm waiting for Christ.
Amen.
When I say I want to go to heaven, Christ is the splendor of heaven. Christ is the value of being in heaven for me. And that very same power must be the ruling and organizing power in my life.
Yeah.
And Adventism. And a Christ-centered Adventism is a living form of Adventism.
Amen.
And if we're going to have Christ-centered Adventists, then we'll have more Christians in the church than ungodly, cold, and formal Christians. We will have a church that will resemble the environment of heaven. People will heal when they come into the church of God.
Amen.
People will find deliverance and hope when they come to the church of God, because the atmosphere itself is the atmosphere of heaven. And what is the value of going to heaven? Christ is the only jewel of heaven. I want to go to heaven because of the idea of spending an eternity with Christ there. You know, so we shouldn't lose focus. We shouldn't lose focus. Christ is the center.
Yeah.
He gave his life for us. It's him who we serve, and not Adventism. His system. He created this system because he wanted to give the truth to his last day church. We are to prepare a people to meet our God in peace. But the one who we are preparing to meet should be the center of our Adventism.
Amen.
The late Pastor Miller, the late Pastor Miller, when he talks about the teaching, so in society, there's what we call eschatology. Eschatology is the doctrine or the teaching of the last days.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that has to do with what in the last days, theology is classified as eschatology. But the word eschatology comes from the Greek word eschatos. And eschatos means that he is come. Now, if we are going to say that we are waiting for Jesus' coming, Jesus must be come in your life first. There must be a coming of Jesus in your life. Before you can experience the physical coming of Jesus, there must be a spiritual advent of Christ in your life. And what is the object of Christ's second coming? It's for him to come and collect you so that you can be with him where he is. But you cannot be with him physically if
you've not been
with him spiritually.
Yes.
And that is why he says that in the last days, many will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, we have done this. Lord, we have done that. And Christ will say, away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He wants to know you now before he can meet you in person at the second coming.
Powerful.
Our lives must center in Christ. And that's what I'm saying.
Powerful, powerful, powerful.
So,
Pastor Karabo Mutle, thank you so much for your time. We've gone way over time, but what a powerful lesson you've just shared there. I really, really appreciate your time, and I appreciate the lesson that you've shared. It's definitely a challenge for us as individuals. I think even before we get to us as on a broader scale as a church, just each one of us as individuals. So I really do thank you for coming through. and for sharing with us the lessons that you've learned from your personal experience with the church. And I thank God that he brought you back and that he didn't give up on you. I thank God for that one person who looked at you with the eyes of Christ, with love, and instead of condemning you, spoke to you with love. And I thank God that now here you are using the gift that God gave to you to share his word. So God bless you. Thank you so much for your time and look forward to chatting with you again soon.
It's always a privilege. Thanks for me.
Amen. Family, what a powerful lesson. I hope you are blessed by that. Let me know what you think about what we've just discussed here with Pastor Karabo Mutle. If you'd like to share with us what you know for sure based on your experience, what you've gone through in your life, what you thought you knew and now have a different view of it after a bit of life experience, please do let us know on +27734703520. Right now, we're going to take a break and we will be right back after this.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.